This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's a couple really important intangible criteria for MVP. The tangible one is obviously stats. You got to put up numbers and whatnot. But I think the thing that voters love, and I've seen this over the years, they love a story. They love an arc. They love it something different. They love this guy's in a new team or this guy has a new coach. Or in the case of Josh Allen, he has the story already written. Almost 200 receptions just walked out of his huddle from last season. And everyone's thinking, well, then maybe the bubble has burst a little bit. He's going to have to do this all by himself. And he will. That's a great story. If Diggs leaves and whoever knows what he does with Houston, fine. Don't underestimate, though, the power of a really good story. And I think he has one already, as long as the production is there. And I think it will be.
That is NFL Network's Kyle Brandt from July.
So remember when Kyle Brandt came to Coca-Cola Field and threw out the first pitch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was on the morning show just the day before.
Kind of doing his media rounds.
Yes. And he says this and calls his shot, and now, months later, drained it. Good. Someone send this to him, because
make sure he knows.
Make sure he knows he called it all the way perfectly back in July on just Buffalo Radio. Not just like, you know, on his TV show, you know, mm-hmm. where they're supposed to have talking points like that. No, he followed it to local radio to a point where it was, he said, he's going to have to produce, but never underestimate the power of a good story.
That was my big thing.
Your narratives,
there's a reason why you'll be one of the top five favorites to win it by most betting markets to begin a year. It's, of course, production, but it's also another thing. People were worried for Lamar about, is there going to be voter fatigue? You know, you're already going to have two. Do we really want to give you three? That kind of puts you in a weird category where you don't have a Super Bowl. You also, you know, going into that year, would only have two playoff wins. Like, are we sure? There was always that kind of element with him. I mean, now, if he had won last night, there would have been a really awkward, I think, comeback for a lot of people, which is, ooh, MV3. Yeah, he has three playoff wins.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, you know, take a shot at Lamar, but there was always kind of that weird feeling, I think, for a lot of voters where you try to have it be subjective and one season by one season, but we're all human beings. That's going to play a factor into, am I really about to give this man his third MVP when he hasn't even played in a Super Bowl? And now, as the voting is getting wrapped up, it's not the playoffs, but you're like, and he only has two playoff wins?
It came very close.
But I think that was maybe a thought process for some of those AP voters who flipped from, well, I don't
even
want to say flipped,
like, say
they
flipped.
Changed it. It was more, we'll give him the All-Pro, but we're giving Allen the MVP.
Yeah, because it's a regular season award. Those votes were already cast.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily say flipped. I just believe that people decided to take it with the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's immeasurable, but there are people that paid attention. It basically became, are there some people that decided to pay attention to what was being said about them before the season? And it comes back to someone who was peddling this narrative that the Bills were going to have a decline, but then voted for Allen as the MVP anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Manuel Acho.
Yeah.
Acho said this was going to be a less enjoyable season for Bills fans. It would be the worst in recent memory with this group.
And he was somebody, too, that I know a lot of fans ran with of saying, like, you're just not talented enough. You don't have enough talent.
And he remembered his narrative,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I want people to stay consistent. Like, for example, I know, for example, Mina Kimes voted for Lamar Jackson. She was consistent, though, in her reasoning as to why she would think that. So I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to dog people for getting being consistent on what they think and why they're thinking it. It was 27 to 23 in the first place voting.
Yeah.
That made the difference. That's point differential right there. That's point differential of 20 points. Allen won it by 21.
Mm-hmm.
You even split those, then that's a one-point difference, by the
way. Yeah.
And then there's torches and pitchforks heading toward Jim Miller.
Yeah, that could have
gotten fourth
bad.
Place
that
vote.
That could have gotten bad.
That could have looked real bad if they end up splitting the first place votes altogether. Say it was deadlocked, 25-25.
Oh, boy.
Allen wins by a point.
Oof.
And it's because Allen has a third place vote and Lamar has a fourth place vote.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the difference. Could you imagine how insane that would be?
It would have been a tough
like
day for Jim Miller.
Bro gets his credentials revoked.
That would have been a really,
if that's
really
the
tough
way
day.
He would have won, Miller doesn't have his creds anymore.
No. Or, well, it could have also been a good career thing where it's like everyone's inviting you on to every show to explain yourself.
Yes, but also.
It could have also turned into a positive.
Yes, but I'm thinking of the negative of,
yeah.
What are you doing?
The more likely route.
Yeah.
Which is everyone hates you.
Everyone hates you. You're not getting your vote anymore.
No. Do you want to touch, though, on a little bit more from the NFL
the
honors?
Whole night.
We'll talk some of the awards as well. I loved that Saquon Barkley won Offensive Player of the Year.
Good.
Because speaking of what else happened that night, I think he is going to turn into a Terrell Davis-type Hall of Fame career here in the next 2 or 3 years. And I'm very excited to see how that transforms. Joe Burrow got his second Comeback Player of the Year award, which – laugh if you want. Those are things that will mm-hmm. go out for his Hall of Fame resume. Kevin O'Connell, I think correctly, was named NFL Coach of the Year. Me and Sal Capaccio both. I remember months ago, we were talking to him. I think me and you were on and we were talking
yes,
to him about,
we
like, hey, pay attention to the Vikings. They might suck, and we have their second-round pick, and they turn
and
into
they
a, yeah, they turn into one of their better seasons. Did it end poorly? Yes. But when you took Sam Darnold to a 4,000-yard season and you, what did they put up, 14 wins this year? And they were a win away in Detroit from winning the NFC North. You got to give a man his flowers. I have absolutely no problem with that. Eric Armstead of Jacksonville, he won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Patrick Surtain, Defensive Player of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year, not surprising, Jaden Daniels. I do think Brock Bowers absolutely had a shout, but let's be honest, if there's even a quarterback worth a shout, he will win. I think we all just have to acknowledge that. And then Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jared Verse. The Rams, by the way, are going to have an awesome defense
he
for the next 10 years.
Sharp,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Rams are going to have a nice defense.
I didn't need to watch the award show to see that man.
Yeah.
Jared Verse, the drip.
Yep. And then the Hall of Fame class, which for the most part, I didn't really have any issues with. It was only
before we get into the Hall of Fame class.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking more on the NFL awards and like some of the voting too. You mentioned Saquon Barkley with the Offensive Player of the Year.
Yes.
For me, a single tear was shed happy down my face when I saw that three offensive linemen got votes for Offensive Player of the Year.
You were saying this. Do you know them off the top of your head who they were?
I don't know them off the top of my head, but I do know Jordan Mailata was one of them.
That's awesome.
If you give me a second, I can get the others. Jordan Mailata was one. Penei Sewell got two votes. Joe Tooney got two fourth-place votes.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Penei Sewell got two fifth-place votes. Jordan Mailata got a fifth-place vote.
Christian Benford also, by the way, real quick, got a fifth-place vote for
yes.
Defensive Player of the Year.
And Joe Tooney got two fourth-place votes.
That's awesome.
Oh, never been a better time to be fat.
Big boys, they're getting their credit.
Big boys are indeed eating.
They're getting their credit. And, of course, I mean, for the Bills, outside of Josh Allen, I think most people would say their MVP was the offensive line, D'Andre Hopkins, Spencer Brown, and the likes. I mean, Connor McGovern getting a Pro Bowl, ultimately being first alternate. But to the Hall of Fame class, only four guys get in. I think there was new voting criteria. You had to have like an 80% threshold to get in. So it's only four guys. Sterling Sharp, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, and Antonio Gates. Eric Allen being the guy that was part of the Veterans Committee. That mm-hmm. he had served his 25 years is that kind of new era. Now he's on to
yep.
where Steve Tasker is now.
Correct. The senior finalists.
I have no problem with all four of them. I do have a problem with one guy missing. And Derek, me and you agree on that.
Yeah, we're gonna pick a fight. Welcome. I am the head of the Give Luke Kuechly His Respect Committee.
It's just ridiculous.
And because we're not big enough yet, I do not have snacks.
It is. I think people forget how good he was because he only played 8 years in the league. Because he ultimately did retire due to injuries. I think many people do remember the image or even maybe just the video of him crying after he got – I don't even know how many concussions he had, but he was in tears on the field.
But and knew I think he was
that,
done.
I think that effectively ended it. But in 8 years, seven of them he was an All-Pro, five of which were first team, two of which were second team. He was a seven-time Pro Bowler. He was the Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2012, and in his sophomore campaign was the Defensive Player of the Year. He is also part of the NFL's 2010 All-Decade Team. He is the two-time NFL combined tackles leader and a three-time Buckus Award winner.
Yeah. So, ready? I'm going to throw hands with the fact that Luke Kuechly did not get a first ballot a first ballot Hall of Famer.
There's not much more you can do.
Yeah.
There simply is not much more you can do.
And the only other person I could argue for when it comes to getting in here would have been Terrell Suggs. Because that man had production amongst production.
For a
long time. At a flashier position. Edge rushers, they get the sacks.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, Luke Kuechly has the numbers, has the accolades, and did not get in on the first try. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? Especially when there's only four of you? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're ultimately going to end up getting to smaller and smaller and smaller classes because of that new criteria.
Yes.
That I think it's 80% of the vote. But, like, from the word go, Luke Kuechly was one of the best players in the league.
From the word go.
His rookie year, which he ultimately does not get a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro nod. It's his only year of his career he doesn't get both.
But he gets Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He gets Defensive Rookie of the Year. It's also the most tackles he has in his career in a season at 103. I mean, he had 12 tackles for loss, more than in his Defensive Player of the Year campaign the next year with 10.
And again, Luke Kuechly is...
Two interceptions. I mean, three fumble recoveries. His rookie year, you can argue, he really should have been an All-Pro or a Pro Bowler.
Now, ready? The thing is that in 2012, there are still high-end linebackers.
There is, yes.
That a rookie would have had to play even more out of his mind in order to do so.
They led the NFL in tackles that year, by the way.
Yes. Which, again, makes it even stranger. But.
But, man, he is somebody I think we forget because, I mean, also he retired in 2019. So it's been a few years since we've heard from him. I mean, this was his first year of eligibility.
I'm going to tell you the players that.
Unbelievable player.
The players that got in over him. At middle linebacker, Patrick Willis, Derek Johnson.
Patrick Willis, Hall of Famer.
And Derek Johnson, who was very good with Kansas City. This is age 30 season. He did fantastic things.
He did fantastic things. He's also himself a four-time Pro Bowler. First-team All-Pro in 2011, second-team All-Pro in 2015. Patrick Willis, by the way, is another guy as well.
By the way, he was one tackle off of Kuechly's lead.
Was he?
Yes. So, yeah, I'd say it's okay to give it to him.
Patrick Willis, though, is also another guy that is kind of in the same vein as Luke Kuechly.
Yes.
Sudden retirement and
very young. Sudden retirement and citing injuries.
Yep.
He wanted to lead a bit more of a healthier life.
He played on San Francisco from 07 to 2014 in those seasons, five-time first-team All-Pro, one second-team All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler, two times NFL solo tackle leader, two times NFL combined tackle leader, also part of the NFL's 2010 All-Decade Team, and a Buckus Award winner. Now, to the guys who did make it, Antonio Gates makes complete sense to me.
Revolutionized tight end position.
Yep, and kind of did it right away. He joined the Chargers in 03. He gets his first All-Pro and Pro Bowl the next year in 04. He basically comes in as a guy who was mainly known for being on Kent State's college basketball team, making the NCAA tournament. His first year, not really do much. He starts 11 games, though. It's the next year, 81 catches, just under 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and kind of continues around that pace the rest of his career until around 2015 when he starts to fall off a little bit. So he is unbelievable, and his first year is 2003. Jared Allen, I know he played for the Chiefs. Derek, I have no recollection of him playing for the Chiefs. It was for 4 years. He was awesome. He has a 15.5 sack season for them. He also has an 11 sack season for him. But total throughout his career, spanning from 04 to 2015, 136 sacks. Four safeties, by the way, which is absurd.
Including one chasing Dan Orlovsky infamously out of the end zone.
Right. He is part of that play.
And he's the one pointing. He's like, ah!
Yes. He also has a 22 sack season. Which kind of like if you ever hit that number, it always kind of feels like you're just going to end up there anyways. You don't luck into that. That takes skill. He's unbelievable. Eric Allen, a guy that I know a little bit less of than probably the rest of them. I do know, though, his pick six, not record, but season in 93 where he had four of them. He had six total picks. Four of them went back for touchdowns. He also had an 8 interception season in 89.
Yeah, Eric Allen was a ball hawk back in the 90s.
Played for three teams, the Eagles, the Saints, and the Raiders. First team All-Pro in 89, two-time second team All-Pro, 91 and 93, and then six-time Pro Bowler. And then Sterling Sharp, who...
when Pro Bowls really meant something.
Yes. And then Sterling Sharp... who I think many of us have seen like the heartwarming video now of Shannon Sharp, his brother, tight end for the Broncos, also Hall of Famer, being the one to induct him into the Hall of Fame. And also...
Including when Shannon said in his Hall of Fame speech that he was the less talented of the two.
And I think most people that ever watched Sterling Sharp play or ever heard people talk about it kind of acknowledge now that if it weren't for injuries... He is one of the greatest NFL receivers to ever play the game.
Yes.
He
gets a gold jacket to commemorate that.
He retires in 94 right when Favre is like entering his like, oh, you're the best player in football.
I'm good at this now.
Like that's when he sadly gets into the league or when he breaks out is just as sharp as leaving. You look at Favre, he goes for three straight MVPs. I want to make sure I get the years right here. But ultimately – it doesn't happen during Sharp's run. His first MVP comes in 95.
Right when Sterling Sharp leaves.
Sharp gets 1 year of elite Brett Favre play. In 94, Favre, they're 9-7, by the way. They're not even like the oh my God teams. 33 touchdowns, 14 picks, just under 4,000 yards. It's the next 3 years, 95, 96, 97, where he is basically this untouchable force. I know a lot of coaches who have mentioned coaching the 90s. You game planned specifically for him, and you knew he'd give you a few throws, but you had to take advantage
of those.
But outside of that, you were specifically plotting to end him. Could you imagine if Sharp? You know, I mean, he retires when he's 29, but how good he was and how good Favre was becoming. You wonder what his stats would have looked like. You wonder what the accolades would have looked like, even if he just is able to play those 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe not fully because he did have injury issues. Let's not act like he didn't. But if he's able to play those three years.
Even a couple.
Yeah.
Even two of those years.
And ultimately looking at his career, 88 to 94, three-time first-team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, and three-time NFL receptions leader, 89, 92, 93. NFL receiving yards leader in 92. And then two-time NFL receiving touchdowns leader, 92 and 94.
What's the cutoff for careers when it comes to Pro Bowls not meaning anything at that point? What would it be, 2020?
We're getting there. When did Tyler Huntley get in?
That was like 2 years ago.
There.
Yeah.
Also, to one of our first caller's points, he mentioned that Allen didn't get in for the 13 seconds here. That is correct. He did not get in for 21.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's when Tyler Huntley got in. I think that's kind of when that stopped.
He also would have just not shown up anyway.
2022 was the 22. Tyler Huntley.
Yes.
And also with Sterling Sharp, seven seasons, he only missed two seasons. He missed 1,000 yards receiving, and only one of them was 791 and 961.
Oh, so one of them he was real close to. Yeah, I think, though, that like when it comes to the players that got in to the Hall of Fame class, absolutely, you drained all of them, nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Just there missed the one. But also, there could have been a couple more, I think. I think Willie Anderson is one of the best offensive tackles to have ever played football.
Yep.
One of the best pass protectors that there was. And he was ending his career as the game was evolving to that. He last plays in 2008. So the league's starting to evolve a little bit more towards a pass-happy system. But he is still the guy. Making sure that Cincinnati has an efficient offense and plays through some of the worst Bengals teams of all time, too.
Yeah. How about Torrey Holt?
Wide receivers are hard, man.
Yeah, and Larry Fitzgerald is joining that crew next year. His first year of eligibility is next year, and he is going to be a first ballot guy.
Yes, but also wide receivers historically have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So to see Torrey Holt or Steve Smith,
Reggie Wayne was on that list. Yep,
all three of them, they're going to have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Steve Smith stan. I love the man. He was one of my favorite players watching growing up. I don't think he's ever going to get it.
You don't think he's ever going to get it?
No, because I think that Holt might get one before him, but then Fitz joins the conversation.
And it's just going to keep going. Another guy's going to join.
If they're getting stingier.
Yeah. I mean, we've now just seen.
I'm following a lot of pessimism on this when it comes down to it. Because, again, if Luke Kuechly can't make a first ballot, and I know there's a difference between first ballot Hall of Fames and just getting in general. But if they're going to be stingier about it,
yeah. This class is four guys. We've had classes that are double digits.
But also, ready? If there's a class of four guys, if you couldn't get in with that, then that means that they're going to keep passing you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's going to break my heart. There's some players that I will have watched growing up.
But then that begs the question too: does Eli Manning ever get in? I know he was the conversation. I know a lot of people throw out, well, he's a Manning, he'll get him in, the two Super Bowls, whatever. But like we've just brought up, if we're getting that stingy now with voting, where only four guys got in, and he's only got four Pro Bowls, that's it. He led the league in interceptions three times.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone, even Giants fans, in those Super Bowl years, 07-11, would honestly tell you who's ever a top five quarterback in any of those seasons.
Yeah.
He had a run, but so did Nick Foles. So did Joe Flacco. And I would say Eli was better than those guys long term.
But it is kind of funny though that like you bring up like Eli Manning, like he would go on runs and so did Nick Foles. And the first thing I thought of was, wow, Tom Brady's Super Bowl weakness really was playing quarterbacks that had no business being there.
Hell yeah. That's it. He beat the first one with Jake Delhomme, and after that it was his kryptonite.
Yep.
After that it became his kryptonite. If you were a good quarterback and he was playing, he was
going to
beat you.
I wouldn't say Delhomme had no business being there, though, because the Panthers that year were one of the best teams
Steve Smith having one of the best.
And Musim Muhammad was there.
Yeah.
Steven Davis. I really loved those Panthers teams growing up.
But it's Jake Delhomme. I mean,
but Jake Delhomme also was playing well that season in his own right. Eli Manning, in those years that he played Tom Brady, he was okay.
I do think it's fair to say now.
And then
though,
Nick Foles had to come in as a backup.
That's right. But I think it is fair now though to see how the voting process was last night. I don't see how Eli Manning gets in. I don't.
Especially when eventually these hands are going to turn over for voting, for having that Hall of Fame vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like people will shuffle in and out.
Well, people are going to shuffle in and out, but also like we're mentioning receivers, like Larry Fitzgerald's going to be added in. Eventually we're going to get to, okay, it's Aaron Rodgers' turn now. Now let's go to the group of guys we have currently. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar are all probably going to be first ballot guys.
Yes.
Then you're going to get to Joe Burrow. And while, yes, they're still playing, but with how small these classes may end up being, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It is going to be a hard road for him, I think, to get into the Hall of Fame. Steve Smith, I think he's got a shot because a lot of people love him. He's in the media. He's always kind of you always hear about Steve Smith. Where I think for Eli, the further we get away from his playing career, the less people are going to bring him up outside of, hey, why is he in the Hall of Fame? This reason.
You're also mentioning like the current players that are playing, like when it comes to quarterbacks. You know who else is first year eligible next year? Drew Brees.
That's right. Brees is not in yet. That's right.
Philip Rivers, his cohort from that draft class.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger follows that up.
Oh, boy.
And then Tom Brady.
Oh, that's right. We haven't even gotten to Brady yet. Oh, wow. He has not been retired long enough.
And that's only until 2028 when eligibility is starting to formulate for those players. In sequential order, Brees, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Brady. That makes Manning's attempt to get in even harder.
Because I don't see these classes doing two quarterbacks.
I mean, they might based on the quarterbacks.
But it might be tough.
Say Brees doesn't get a first ballot for some reason.
Oh, that would be wild.
Brees and Roethlisberger probably.
Yeah, but but it's still waiting for Manning.
Yeah.
Oof. 803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on last night's NFL honors? We'll also touch on the Super Bowl as well, especially coming up at 2 o'clock. Lou DiBiase, host of Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll get a little bit of a look at the Eagles. We've talked enough Chiefs for this year. We'll get a look at the NFC side of things as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here until 3 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.